Chiefs are often running at OTAs, minus one starting offensive tackle. We're going to talk about that. What's happening? Who's making waves here as they get off to the offseason start? This is Locked On Chiefs.
From the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, this is the Locked On Chiefs podcast.
Welcome back, friends and neighbors. This is Locked On Chiefs, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day for free. Everywhere that we can think of. Hope that you're doing well. We have a lot to talk about today. I'm Ryan Tracy, the founder of Rogue Analytics Performance Consulting. You can get all the information you need on this draft class and a lot more over on NFL33.com. We all do that. Thanks for making us your first listen. Check out maybe the draft show or maybe one of the other team shows or even a hockey show or a basketball show, because we have shows all over the Locked On NFL Podcast Network.
And I'm Chris Clark. You can find me at KC Chiefs Corner. I have some information there. I'm the founder there. Really talking about the salary cap and statistics and analytics when it comes to the Chiefs. Let's just go ahead and jump in. You started talking about the offensive lineman that did not show up to OTAs.
The offensive lineman? Yeah. The offensive lineman of this group. Folks, Orlando Brown is not at OTAs. Matt and I talked about this earlier in the week. It's not necessarily a surprise. I was hopeful. But at the end of the day, there's a couple of extenuating circumstances. This is not, I don't feel anything to be concerned about going forward. The one concern that I do have is they're approaching a June deadline where they're hoping to get a contract extension done, right? We found out today that Orlando still doesn't have an agent. So unless he's planning to go the Lamar Jackson route and negotiate everything himself, that puts a set of brakes, significant set of brakes, on the train that's rolling down the tracks to try to get that extension done.
Yeah, I think the deadline is actually mid-July for the franchise tag. But Kansas City obviously wants to get started on that and get it working on. And it's all Brown said he's not going to get, you know, he's not going to negotiate until he has an agent. Well, that's the concern I have, the same that you have right now, is that it is now practically June by the time we're recording this and by the time you're listening. It's now practically June for all intents and purposes. And do I care that he isn't at OTAs? No, I actually kind of like it in some aspects, and I'll get to that in a second. But to me, it's also one of those things where you have to wonder, okay, why haven't you found an agent yet at this point? Are you not going to get an agent at this point? Because you've had... You know, the thought was he was going to get an agent in April. Mm-hmm. Well, now it's the end of May. He still doesn't have an agent. He's only got basically a month and a half to sign his new long-term contract. I don't think it is in his best interest or the team's, really, for him to negotiate that on his own. Yeah. Part of the reason you want an agent isn't necessarily just so they can get you a better deal. It's also so you don't have to have animosity going between the team and the player, because the agent is the middleman.
Yeah. Well, and it also takes a load in terms of like logistics off your back if you're the player mm-hmm. as well. And you're right. It is July. I'm sorry. I misstated that before. Either way, it's coming up fast. And that's the big thing, is it takes a while. I can understand if you were trying to get an agent hired in April and it slipped to May, because sometimes, you know, a matter of 3-4 weeks can go by before you can actually get traction. Right. But now you're into the spot now where if you don't have somebody nearly lined up, you're talking about the last 2 weeks of this negotiating window to try to get something done. If you get somebody signed, like it's getting down to the wire for him and for the Chiefs. I think they want to get it done. It feels like they want to get it done. I think they ought to want to get it done, because I think if he has another, I will say very good season, I won't say elite season, if he makes any kind of step forward, he gets instantly more expensive. So I do think that this time's of the essence for both of these parties. And I think in the end, they want to do it. The question is, will they? Do you have a feeling one way or the other?
I still think it gets done. The only thing that really is kind of surprising to me in this moment is that he is not at OTAs. And I say that, and I said this earlier, and I'll explain in just one moment, but I want to say I'm a little surprised he's not there, because it wasn't like that's more of a sense of a holdout than anything else. Like, yes, players don't have to go to OTAs, but you're in an offense. You have a lot of new pieces. Yeah, the offensive line is staying the same, but you still want to get around your new teammates. You want to still get chemistry with those new teammates. You want to get on the same page with all the teammates, all the new players, see if anything's changing in the offense. and not showing up to OTAs is a little surprising. Now, the one reason I will say I kind of like that he's not there is because it gives younger guys a chance to step in and get work. And the reality is, for a player like Brown, OTAs can make a little bit of a difference, but it doesn't get anywhere close to how much of a difference it can make for younger guys.
Yeah, especially the rookie class and the guys that are new to the team. I mean, Kennard was pretty much penciled in because of Lucas Niang's injury, so that's okay. The question becomes, who are you going to run over there? Is it automatically put Wiley just to see what he can do? You've seen what he can do. So I don't know. There's a whole lot of exploration to be done there as well. So then it gets into, Jaron Christian, Prince Tagovailoa, like guys that you probably want to get a few more reps for. So I agree with you there that it is advantageous to the roster, to the franchise, to have reps for those guys. I don't see it as a holdout situation. I just see it as, hey, it's not required. I'm going to, not break my back to get this done ahead of time. But I think that changes very dramatically, obviously, once July 1st hits. And that's again, my big concern. But he's one piece of a bigger puzzle. Well, there's a lot else going on in that offense.
Yeah, and the one thing I'm trying to figure out right now, I don't think he signed his tag yet. So I guess maybe he's under no obligation to be there.
Right.
So if he was going to be there, he would be signing the tag. Now, the question that I'm going to have is he going to show up for mandatory minicamp? I think that's probably still the same situation. He won't be there. That's going to be a little disheartening for me. But at the same time, like I said before, you got a lot of guys. And, Christian's a guy that I think you make a great point there. He doesn't know this offense.
Right.
He needs reps. He needs work. Obviously, as an offensive lineman, it's going to be a lot more important when you get to training camp and you get those types of reps. But getting the middle part of it down first is extremely important, and that can go a long way. These reps can go a long way to getting that done.
Yeah, agreed. You got to get out there and get something, and it's not the only position as well. There's another position that a player is sitting out that we need to talk about because they probably need a little bit of help. They got to make sure that they get healthy, and for you guys, one way to do that is something that, thanks to our next partner, I do every day now, and it's AG1 from Athletic Greens. It's an easy way to start the day along with my coffee. It gives me everything that I need to feel good and get good, get up to speed on whatever that day is going to bring. There is a ton to it. And it really starts with the fact that it's there to support you and your health in a number of ways, not just in providing vitamins and minerals that you need, but giving yourself a boost there in terms of your immune system, your gut health, your nervous system. Your energy levels do come up. I have to say, I do feel better, just generally lifted after taking AG1 in the morning there. It helps your recovery. It helps your mental focus. And I really hope that this comes true. They say it. I haven't seen it yet, but it supposedly helps your aging. God knows that I need that. So we're going to try to make that come along. And all you have to do is take one scoop of powder, put it in one cup of water, and give it a shake. And that's your daily dosage for all of these things that help everything in your life and your lifestyle. It's cheaper than a cup of coffee. I know a lot of you guys have cold brew addictions that I just like regular old brewed coffee and espresso, so I'm not quite there, but it covers that cost and then some. It has everything that you're going to need throughout that day, and it gets you off to the right start before you get going. Right now, they want to help you even more to have that convenience and that natural boost to your immune system and your daily nutrition. And they're helping out by making it really easy. If you go to Athletic Greens, they're giving you a 1-year free supply of the immune supporting vitamin D supplement that they have, as well as 5 free travel packets with your first purchase. All you have to do is go to athleticgreens.com/NFL network. That is athleticgreens.com/NFL network. Take ownership of your health and your ultimate daily nutrition insurance. Check out AG1 from Athletic Greens. Athletic Greens could really help one of the wide receivers right now. And this has been an off season that Patrick's done a lot of work with his new pass catchers, his old pass catchers, all the pass catchers down in Texas, doing some informal workouts, getting to know everybody. But you come back to town and right off the bat, you're not able to complete the first week OTAs, which honestly isn't that much work on field. And in particular, when Mecole Hardman, who should be set up to have his best season yet, possibly the best season of any wide receiver in this group, and he's out with a hamstring in the second day of open practice, that's got me a little bit concerned. Do you think that I'm overreacting?
I would love to say yes, but I can't. Yeah, this is concerning, and I understand people are going to say we're blowing this out of proportion. It's just a hamstring strain. He'll be back. He'll be able to play, and I get that. That is the hope. That is the want and desire. My issue is that these types of injuries, I think, are somewhat preventable at times. I think you have the ability to make sure your body is in the best shape possible and do all these different things that can get you to a point where some of this stuff isn't going to happen. And for him to be missing practice when he needs to be out there and other receivers are out there that are getting reps with Mahomes and being on the same page with that, with their new quarterback in Sky Moore, MBS, Juju Smith-Schuster. And I know we're talking about Hardman, but I just have to stop and say, if you haven't seen it, you need to go check out Justin Ross's catch at OTAs on Thursday. The Chiefs tweeted it out. Patrick Mahomes retweeted it. You need to go see that catch. And that is why the Chiefs seem to be that excited about Justin Ross, because he makes plays like that. But
fair enough. Two things. One, there's a lot of variation in a quote unquote hamstring strain. He could be back out there at the next practice. I don't mean to, I'm not trying to blast off alarm bells here, but what I am saying is that when you've had all this preparation and all this work to this point, a lot of times it's about proper nutrition, proper rest, and proper hydration. And that's something McCall Hardman should have down pat by now at this point in his career. So I hope that it is the least important, the most mild version of a hamstring pull, and he can get back out there right away, because I think building that camaraderie and, quite frankly, setting the tone for the rest of the wide receivers is something that he needs to do in order to put himself in the best position for this season. Now, when it comes to Ross, yes, that was a great circus catch. One-hander, diving away, like, well done. Credit, kid.
Staying on his feet.
And people are going to be excited. I get it. But this is what I saw him do in college. This is not out of the ordinary. This is the player he is, and this is why I was excited a couple weeks ago. I don't think this necessarily turns the dial up, and he's any more likely to make the roster now than he was last week. But I will say, if he's starting to catch on, if he's starting to get his roll down, his alignments down and all that, this is what he does. That natural ability is what you're hoping that everything else can congeal around enough to click and make the roster. So I'm excited. And when you take a look at the fact that the Chiefs official media tweets it out and then Patrick's picking up, that feels like an endorsement of some, you know, maybe not coming out and saying, but that's a bit of an endorsement that, hey, we like what this kid's doing. Have a look at him.
Well, and then Patrick came out, and not only did he mention it, but he also goes further to say that Ross made that catch and then basically just acted like it was just another catch. You have to see the catch to understand why I'm saying this the way I am. It was absolutely phenomenal, and it was great to see. And obviously it was against air, whatever, but if he has that type of skill, if he can turn that into something, you know, one of the things that we talked about with Ross specifically when he came out was he going to be able to play this year? Was he going to be able to be a guy that can contribute this year? Now, we still have a question on whether or not he's going to be able to contribute, but it looks like at this point, I don't think there's a question of whether or not he can play. He looks like he's healthy. He looks like he's participating. Now, contact is a lot different than, you know, running on air. So we'll see how that turns out in training camp. But at this point, I mean, you have to be excited about what he's shown. And the Chiefs are definitely diving into that excitement and pushing that excitement even more.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, and that is a plus, especially when they had a couple other clips that they chose to show of MVS, of Smith-Schuster. You know, like, they're trying to show, hey, we know that you guys are still panicked about the lack of Tyreek Hill, but it's going to be okay. Like, everybody relax. Well, it's going to be fine.
And Mahomes talked about that. That was one of the things he talked about in his press conference after OTAs, was people aren't going to know where the ball's going this year. That's a huge difference than it's been in the years past. It used to be the ball's going to Hill or Kelsey. If you can double team those two guys, or at least keep them, you know, somewhat contained, you're going to be all right. You're not going to have that option this year. Now, I'm not saying that MVS is Tyreek Hill. I'm not saying Juju Smith-Schuster is Tyreek Hill. But there is a lot to be said about improving the core as a whole. And maybe they have a better wide receiver core as a whole this year than they've had in several years. And I think I can say that easily right now.
Yeah, 1 through 5 on paper should be better no matter what than 1 through 5 in 2021.
Yep.
Pretty simple. That said, they got to get there. And there's guys that play against them as well. There's some happenings on the other side of the ball, too. We're not going to forget the defense, but first, want to make sure that you guys are enjoying this. We thank you for making us your first listen. Check out the newest offering. It's Locked On Sports Today. It's an all-encompassing sports show that you can check out. It's got a brand new feed, instant reactions, game recaps, and a take of the day. You can grab it on Odyssey or YouTube or wherever you get podcasts. Now, we've talked a lot about offense today, but you got to talk about the defensive guys too. And for me, it's a little bit difficult that you have get to. Used. Somebody has to, because you ain't gonna.
That's true.
For me, it's a little hard to get used to seeing Nick Bolton wearing 32. Like, I just got used to him, and now it's different. So that kind of tripped me up a little bit. But I will say, Andy called him and one other player we'll talk about in a second, but called Nick Bolton out for making an interception in passing drills today. Now, again, this is OTAs. This is not game-changing plays. This is understanding where you need to be. But for Nick Bolton in particular, playing in space has been part of the challenge in terms of his coverage ability. And so I think that kind of tells you that he's that much dialed in to where he left off last season. And for me, that's really what you really hoped for, is being able to just continue to improve and not take a step back and have to recover and that kind of thing. So I'm excited to see that Nick Bolton's the first guy that he mentions.
Yeah, no, I am too. And I don't want to take anything away from Bolton, but I do want to say this really quick. The opposite side of that is that you could possibly get concerned about hearing about a bunch of interceptions in OTAs and in training camp and minicamp and all that. Don't put much stock in that, because QBs, even Patrick Mahomes right now, is trying to learn what he can do and what he can't do. And it's a lot better to make mistakes now and to try to push something that isn't necessarily there now, so he knows what he can get away with later. So just want to throw that out there as a little bit of a preemptive strike, I guess.
Right. And well, and I didn't get the details of who the interception came off of. It could have been anybody. Right. So we don't know that it's Patrick Bose. Don't get too concerned about that. But just the fact that, you know, you've gone over, it's not a rebuild, but it's an overhaul. It's more than an oil change here and what they're doing to the defense this offseason. So that's significant. And along with Nick Bolton, the other player that was productive here in terms of interception was one Brian Cook. I know you guys have not heard about him at all, except for on this show, because I seem to be the only person that's excited about him, except Matt Derrick. So it was fun for me to see him get called out as well.
Yeah, I'm excited about him as well. I do think he is going to be a fun piece to watch. And yeah, it's great to see he got an interception. I think that's great. He was able to participate. I believe Sky Moore was able to participate. So when you start looking at injuries, we talked about that earlier, I think this week, of who is going to be available. I think everybody was available except for Hardman. So that's a good sign. Everybody that was there anyway. You know, when you look at the safeties, another quote that I saw that I really liked was Justin Reed said this is going to be the most fun defense he's played in his career. That's exciting. Yeah.
Sorry, like, Lovey.
Don't get me wrong. I get the Texans defense hasn't been great, and I can understand why it hasn't been exciting for him to play in. But it is exciting to hear that the players are just excited to be able to play in this type of defense.
Yeah, agreed. And it is very clear that the departure of Tyrann Mathieu has given way to the fact that not only did they need to replace him on the field at the safety position, but they needed to replace him as leader. And the team is making a concerted effort to set everything up in the direction that will become Justin Reed. It is not going to be Juan Thornhill. Doesn't seem that it's going to be L'Jarius Sneed, who I think would be another natural candidate. But it is also about personality, ability to be not
be vocal.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. Not just being a leader in your actions, but being able to really hit through with the way that you are able to inspire people vocally. And I think that's important. So while it does feel like it is a topic being pushed by the team itself, I think that's exactly what they did with Tyrann when he came in as well. And so I hope that in this reset, it works out the same way.
I think it's kind of funny. They have had a person in that position. The past three people that have been in that position are very vocal in their leadership capabilities. And it just seems very interesting that that continues to be the position that goes and becomes that vocal leader on the defense. Because don't forget, Tyrann Mathieu took it over from Eric Berry. That was Eric's job. He was the heart and soul of the defense. Tyrann became the heart and soul of the defense. I'm not so sure that Justin Reed won't become the heart and soul of this defense.
Yeah.
I mean, he learned from Tyrann in Houston.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Like there's definitely a connection you can make on down the line to taking on that role. Now, in the end, I think a lot of times players respond to production. The best players end up being leaders in most locker rooms. It's not always the case. But that also, I think, signals the team's faith in Justin Reed as well to progress his game from what it's been in Houston. So I'm really interested to see how they go about that and how much more we see of him. But that is the first week, kind of sets everything up that they're going to build on these coming weeks. So we hope that you guys are ready for that. There's going to be a lot of information, and we'll have updates for you as we go along, as well as our guy on the ground, Matt Derrick from Chiefs Digest, will have information for us as well. If you guys are not ready, or you're somehow asleep, the offseason started and we're rolling. It's going to be fun. I think you guys are going to dig it. A lot of new faces in Kansas City. So that's it for me today. Anything else that you have?
No, I think it's a lot of fun to see the team actually be there and be able to practice and see the guys on the field. And, you know, Travis Kelce, I guess I will mention this. I saw something right before we started recording. Travis Kelce said it was great to see Jody Fortson back out there. So
that's nice confirmation right there.
Yeah. So Fortson, it sounds like Fortson's back now. Obviously, he's probably just doing some minimal stuff right now, but it sounds like he could be ready for training camp. That's a great sign. And that could be a huge thing for Kansas City, because I think it's overlooked how big of an impact he could have had in the offense last year if he's able to stay healthy.
Yeah, agreed. I hope he can just keep that rolling. I'm interested to see where it goes from here. So that's it for us today. Hope you guys enjoyed this. Make sure you like, sub, and hit the bell on YouTube and subscribe over on the audio platforms. Check out another show on the Locked On Podcast Network, maybe the Draft Show. I think it's a pretty good one. Thanks for your time today. Have a great holiday, and we'll be back with you on Tuesday.